Blog Talk Radio.
You are my minister. You are my helpmate too. When I think about love and myself, I think about love and you. You are my doing me right. My spiritual song in the special part of me, my
Thank you for listening to the Gathering Ministries broadcast of Prophecy Alive with Roderick and his queen, Katrina Owensby. We hope that you have enjoyed it. If you would like to sow into the ministry, visit us at www.facebook.com/Prophecy Alive broadcast. For the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29:9.
Well, God bless you. I am so happy that you took the time to tune into Prophecy Alive. You know, the Lord has been dealing with me actually for years. He has put in my spirit something, and I want to release some of it tonight. Because as you know, in the Garden of Eden, Satan knew with his strategy how to destroy or attempt to destroy the plan of God concerning the earth, concerning covenant. And so we're going to deal with in a raw form. This is for the mature. And we're going to deal with the subject of love. It's actually my favorite subject. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know that. You've been in church. That's one verse. Just about over 80% of people know God so loved the world. But there's a love story in the kingdom of God. There's a love story. God is a God of love. Now, understand this now. He's a God of love, but it is a complex as well as it is simple. It is fundamentally pure. It is innocent. So the world has its own meaning of love. The world, listen, Jesus said, the word of God says that we are we are in the world, but we're not of the world. But I want you to know that so many have their own definition of love, and so many are too busy being religious to be in love. And I want to expose the enemy, not people, not a person, not a ministry, expose Satan's definition of love, which is actually not love at all. I'm telling you something. You know, so many people, they talk to me and they wonder, and some think I'm so supernatural until I can't be down to earth. Most people know that, and I give God the glory. I was dare say, and I boast in the Lord, I'm one of the most down to earth, I quote, as it is, than anyone. So tonight, if you would allow me, my partners, School of Prophets and my friends around the world, it's my Queen Katrina and those that are praying with us, if you would allow me to bear my soul as I minister to God's people. And when you call, press 1. But I want you to know tonight, I believe and we believe here at the Gathering Ministries and praying for everyone. But you know, so many people say, can I keep it real? I never ask that, because I keep it real, whether it's exhortation, I keep it real, whether it is prophecy, I keep it real, whether it's sin, including minds. Hello, everybody. So there's an anointing on me tonight, and it's quite raw, and I want you to know, please pardon me for being who I am. I'm asking you in advance to pardon me, because I will not spare this deceitful spirit that wants to capture God's people and cause God's people to be searching for everything but the love of God. Hear me. Hear me. Whew. I'm telling you tonight, I am encouraged, I am healed, I am delivered. I'm full of the love of God. I give him the glory. I feel the freedom to really talk to God's people tonight. You know, I'm not a person that like preaching at people. I love talking to you. I mean, for God knows that the simplicity of God's love, this way is so plain that a fool can get in. And yet we have spirits that have attacked God's people through false teaching. And I'm going to say something. God's people are more afraid of love than the children of darkness. God help me. Even though the children of darkness walk in their own interpretation of love, their lustful love, God's people as a whole have not dealt with the subject of love. And I'm going to deal with it tonight. I'm going to just relax my spirit because I'm so passionate about this thing called love. And I want to deal with honesty versus deceit. Not a title of a message. It's a thought of the spirit. And I want to tell you something. There's one word that describes love. Hear me. Young people, young lady. Those of you who are engaged, I'm telling you tonight, if you know someone that is engaged, you need to get off the line, two-way it, and call someone. Call your relative. If you know someone that is engaged, getting ready to get married, I beg of you to have them call and say, listen, you need to listen tonight. If you know someone that is what people say church hurt, you need to get off the phone. You need to call your pastor. We got a lot of pastors that need this tonight. And there's pastors that called me all over this world. And I believe exaggeration is sinful. Listen to me. All over this world, I'm hearing the same spirit that was in the Garden of Eden. Listen, listen. Blaming not man, blaming not woman. Relationship is not built upon what you disagree, but is built upon the word of God, and not in a false, dutiful way. You know, what is a man's duty? What is a woman's duty? That word religion means duty. And I mean, there are more people religious when it comes to speaking in tongues than it is loving. There are more people religious when it comes to prophesying than they are loving. There are more people religiously going to church than they are going to love. So we have an issue in the body of Christ, and I'm going to address it. I'll be right back after this love song.
Yeah.
Listen, we are back. We're going to be dealing with love. We're going to deal with the issues of love. And I'm going to take this first call, and then I'm going to get into this word, and then feel free to call with your questions and with your concerns. Praise God. You can shout, dance till you fall out. The love of God has to be expressed on earth. I mean, you can be in love with God until you just grow wings. But there is a human expression. Can I talk to y'all? Of course I can. There is a human expression of love that Satan refused to let many people of God express. This is just as demonic as it is somebody filled with a demon spirit. There's one word that describes love, and that is honor. It's so many times, you know, people read the books of Paul, and it's so easy to become extreme. I'm not an extreme person. I don't want anybody that loves the Lord to be extreme with love. But one thing love means is respect. It's honor. You know, the Bible says for children in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Watch this now. And then when in verse 1, Ephesians 6 and 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there are promises that goes with that. And then verse 2 declares, honor. Watch this now. Honor your father and mother. Now, God tells us to obey our parents. And verse 2, as we mature, we understand honor. In most cases, we understand honor. Obedience translates, and it should turn into honor. In other words, when you obey God, you're going to end up honoring God. Without obedience, there could never be honor. Now watch this now. Something that is so cunning as a serpent happened in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3. Not even dealing with the woman, not even dealing with the man. I'm dealing with one thing. Watch this. Watch this. I mean, this sticks out more to me. I'm going to turn here in my Bible to Genesis 3 before I take one call. This is a prophetic word tonight on love. Look at what the serpent did. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden. Watch this, verse 3, y'all. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's kind of deep and direct, isn't it? Isn't it? Verse 4 of Genesis 3. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you will not surely die. Wait a minute. That verse 4 is the birthplace of reasoning when it comes to God's word. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a song that says, what the world need now is love, sweet love. The extreme definition of love has gotten so out of hand until Satan has convinced millions of people you can love the way you want to. Listen closely. Listen. If you got time for prophecy, you got to have time for the word of God. The enemy, with his cunning ways, like the serpent in Genesis 3, have convinced many people, even God's people, that we can write our own definition of what love is. And the Word of God simply says, God is love. God. There's no other definition. God is love. Watch this now. He is love. 1 John 4:8, whosoever does not love does not know God. What? Whew. Whosoever does not love don't even know God. God help us. Now, when you think about that, it is impossible. Listen, it is impossible to have peace without the understanding of love. It is impossible to have success without the understanding of love. Romans 8:37-39. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Watch this now. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, glory to God, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to hear something. With that verse, with any verse in the Bible, whenever God speaks, Satan will always come and say, Genesis 3:4. Listen. And the serpent said unto the woman, the serpent said unto the woman, says unto the man. The serpent will speak to a ministry. Ye shall not surely die. Now, I want you to get this part now. Without God's understanding of love, you better believe that Satan is right there. Yes, he is right there. Now, without blaming the serpent, through the Holy Spirit, we have a responsibility. Even before you get with the subject of marriage, love is defined from when a child grows up in a home, there's a definition that we get from our homes. It's a definition that makes us who we are. You define yourself by how you were raised. And your understanding of love dictates how you treat others. The revelation that you receive, even from being in our mother's womb, there is a spirit that comes on a child. Is either love or hate or indifference. In the womb, you're being taught something that will display itself. You ever seen a child, when a child is young, they display their own personality. They would display their own selfishness. There's nothing wrong with this. But if we take more interest, I love watching children because I can tell by what the child does their surroundings. Love is so important. If we don't start teaching our children the real meaning of love, and that the real meaning of love is God and godly principles, then they will go out into the world and they will respond to the world from what they see and feel. Let me give you a perfect example. A child can grow up in a home, never seeing the parents smoke drugs. The parents can keep from that child their habits. Listen closely. That child having a spirit, you understand, will, like an antenna, pick up the frequencies of the activities of the parents. Those who are over the child, if they have anger, it will translate from the atmosphere into the child. That child never sees mom and dad smoke drugs, but they will search for something until they find an atmosphere that agrees with their bodies and their minds, and they will say, this is just like the atmosphere I felt subconsciously in my home. And they will search for that atmosphere. And if they ever get a taste of something that reminds them, this is deep, y'all, of the atmosphere growing up, then they will take that and say that is love, because that's the same atmosphere that I came from. I got to talk tonight out my spirit. You understand why a child grows up angry? Because anger was the atmosphere of their home. They may have never seen their parents argue. The parents might do everything to keep that child from, you know, I took the word anger and I turned it around, and it has the same letters as range. Range, R-A-N-G-E. Anger develops a distance that, if we're not careful, we would allow anger to control us. The spirit of anger has to be bound by a decision not to be. And that which angers you, even if you're not a person that reacts on that anger will cause you to react to it becoming a slave. The enemy is cunning. Love is something that does not like to be in bondage. You better hear me. What is love? My God. What is love? It is God. There's something so simple and true. Love should always be shared and not taken hostage. Has your love been taken hostage? Love in action is better than love on the sideline. Honesty versus deceit. Proverbs 11:3, good people are guided by their honesty. Treacherous people are destroyed by their dishonesty. You have to understand something. The enemy do not love. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you something. Love is not even in us. Only through God. And the more understanding that we have of God, we get a greater understanding of what love is. Love does not, I'm going to tell you something. Love does not take. It does not take. You tell me somebody that loves somebody and all they do is take, and I'll show you somebody that doesn't love. Many marriages and relationships are spiritually violent, not healthy, not happy. First of all, if you look to somebody for somebody to make you happy, I would say you almost hate yourself. Happiness is only in you. Oh, God, come on. You said so many people are so hurt and burdened down because they look for someone else to fulfill their emptiness. I am so against that because, listen, you could never make or influence, hear me, You can never make or influence somebody to love you. There is almost said magic. Go over to God. I don't want anybody to get, oh my God, he said magic. There is something so revelatory. It's a mystery of what love is. Love is something that almost cannot be described. That's why the Bible says God is love. That simple. But many times in a relationship, one is forced to simply take the role of the giver. You know why I say a giver is forced? Because if a giver is with a taker, then he or she, their ability to give becomes captive. There's several categories that I begin to write down today. Is a convenience lover. Loving out of convenience. Anytime love is out of convenience or what someone else can do for you, you have already trapped yourself. Yes, there's the lover that is convenience. There is another lover that's like a chameleon. It's like Matthew 25. There were 10 virgins. Watch this, y'all. 5 were wise and 5 were, yes, you got it, foolish. Now, the ones that were wise, they had their own substance. They had their own oil in their lamps. They were busy trimming their lamps, taking care of their lamps. You see, a real lover of God, a person that is designed to give. See, your relationship with God should cause you to give. It is very difficult, regardless of what anyone says. After a time of preparation through life and maturity, after receiving Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, it is hard for me to believe that any person that has a relationship with God and a relationship with the Holy Spirit is ignorant of love. You can't convince me of that. You say, I'm having problems at home. I'm having problems with my relationship. Listen, you're not having problems. Somebody is giver and somebody is the taker. You can cut it with a knife. It boils down to one thing. Do you remember Judas? Do you remember that Christ became the ultimate sacrifice? Look what Christ did. He simply gave all the time. He was either given instructions, given revelation. He was giving himself. You notice he gave himself. Love is not something that you simply do. Love should be one with you as a person. But when you listen to fables and you listen to other people who don't have a constitution and the discipline and understanding of self, not selfishness, then your interpretation of love that is given to you by the process of growing in an environment where you saw either by your conscience or by your eyes or by your ear gate. All of us develop within us a decision to love or hate. It is very abusive. Very abusive for us. Look at this. For us not to love. Watch this. You can always tell who loves God by how they treat those who they say that they love. There's absolutely no way you can love God and be a taker. Oh, my God. Did I say that? There is absolutely no way that you can love God and be a taker. I had a lady call me, and she's so precious, and the enemy was attacking her. And she was attacked for so many years until her interpretation of that attack was love. And I allowed her to see that she was abused emotionally. And God brought deliverance in her life. I will never forget the 3 months of counseling. Now she's healthy. And she understands giving. The worst thing you can do, listen closely, is not study. You say you believe God, and God is love. I want to know what love is. I wanted to study love more than I studied anything in the Bible. Because when you get a revelation of love, watch this, you get a revelation of you. You get a revelation of giving. You know, the body of Christ did an injustice to Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Now, when you say that scripture in church, I guarantee you, Whether anyone admits it or not, folk think about money. People think about tithing. They think about everything but being in debt when it comes to love. There's another lover that's called the codependent lover, and I'm going to come back to that. Because I got to talk to you about that. I have a 985. Let me come to you right now. 985 is your area code. God bless you.
God bless you, Prophet. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I was sitting here taking notes, listening to the topic on tonight about love and deceit. I was calling for prayer for my brother, sir.
Can you
hear me? Okay, I was calling for prayer for my brother. He's been having some issues with the mother of his child, like for this, like seeing him and getting him. And I know it's kind of down in his spirit that every time he's supposed to go pick him up to bring him down, she's always saying he can't come get him or family issues or something.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. That's not something you call on a broadcast.
Okay.
Because it's you know what it's like? It's like tattletelling.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
It's like you calling on Prophecy Alive telling his business.
Okay.
See, I don't mind praying for people, but I'm a man of wisdom. And I love you. I love you. But open rebuke is better than secret love. Because it's not wise for you to call and put him on blast about somebody, then pick up somebody else and somebody. That's not something you call for prayer.
Okay.
What you need to do is stay out of their business. And pray for them. I love you so much. If I didn't, I wouldn't even tell you this.
Okay.
You have a home, right?
Right.
You have children, right?
Right.
Okay, then that needs to be your focus.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you too.
Okay, baby. God bless you.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. I'll be right back after this. You are listening to Prophecy Alive. Hallelujah. Get ready. We're dealing with love.
This is what every man wishes his wife knew. He yearns to tell you that what works for you has got to work for him too. Put your ear to his heart and let him talk to you.
If you wanna love me,
oh, yeah,
the way I need to be loved, you need to learn to love me from my side.
Adam and Eve, they ain't the same. It may take some time for you to learn how to light my flame. You are my lover, my friend, my wife and helpmate too. I'll be a student of love, but you got to be mine too. Soft to the touch, but what I need to tell you right now, satin sheets don't do much. God said do unto others, oh, what you have them do unto you. I'll be a student of love, but you got to be mine too. You see, you love me.
I love that song, Satin Sheets Slide. The flesh is carnal. There is no one that can get an interpretation from the flesh and be a giver. The codependent. Listen. The codependent lover This destroys more relationships than any. All of us should ask ourselves, are we codependent? Are we a codependent lover? Number one, this is so difficult to deal with, because if a person becomes codependent, it's a logic that they have within themselves, and it makes them feel like the other person is responsible for what they feel about themselves. They lean on the strength of others like the foolish virgins. Sell me your oil. I want your love. I believe this, that people in a relationship should be so sound until they don't even look for the other person to not only not to define them. You can't deal with this male chauvinist attitude or this women's lib attitude. You know, my daughter used to come crying to me. Oh, she was a little girl. I'll never get around 4 or 5 years old, and she would come crying to me, looking so pitiful. And you know, I'm just one of those dads. I just love on children, both the boys and the girls. But you know, fathers and their daughters. And so Deborah would come, and oh, Deborah could cry, and I'm telling you, that face, oh, Jesus. So I became Hercules, called my son and said, don't you ever touch your sister. My son would say, Dad, I didn't do anything. So after a while, Deborah kept doing this and back and forth. So something just kind of just got in me one day. And I just kind of was sneaky, and I would just watch them as they play, which I often do. And so this particular day, I heard Deborah just sound like she was swinging something. I heard a slight wind, a hoof, hoof. She was making that noise, you know. And so I kind of snuck up to the door. The door was cracked to their room. And my daughter was whooping my junior, Roderick Jr. She was working him over with her brush, her hairbrush. And I mean, it was like the WWF wrestling tournament. And as soon as Junior would push her or something and she would fall, let me go to Daddy because Dad will rescue. That's how you develop a codependent lover. So I had to teach my daughter, yes, it's true that your brother not supposed to hit you or hurt you. But it's also true that neither should you. And in our families, it's sort of a tipping of the scales, if you will, when it comes to how the boy treat girls and how the girls are simply treated as though that they were so special until they could do anything. And because they were girls, you kind of let it slide. But I began to teach my daughters, let me show you reality. And people grow up without that spiritual counsel, and they become so selfish. And somebody in the relationship or in the marriage is sitting on the sideline due to a false perception of relationship. This is what happens when you have a logic that says, give me, give me. It becomes excessive. It becomes dependency. And then you become responsible for only you and how you feel. So many people call me, and I there's a woman that told me, I need to pray for my husband. I need my husband to know God. It's like my husband, he don't know God. How do you know your husband don't know God? Or there are men that I talk to, and they have an issue with their wives. they have an issue with their wives. The question is, who is being deceived? Who is not being honest? The first person that anyone should be honest with, the first person is you. I am only responsible for me. And when you go into a relationship with that responsibility, then you're going to find yourself more peaceful, even with yourself, even if you are not being loved. You know how many people live through life wanting to be loved? Stop it. Love yourself. And when you begin to love yourself, you begin to rearrange your thinking patterns. Never feel bad because you believe in love and giving. All of us have made mistakes, and we can look in our lives and say, listen, I didn't qualify certain people in my life. That they become a scuba diver lover. Oh, this raw tonight. Real talk. Don't become a codependent lover. One can only change themselves. I don't care how much. You know, wealthy people get divorced every day. Oh, God, help me tonight. Wealthy people get divorced every day, got the home, got the car. Don't you think that money is love? It is not. There's a song that says, money can't buy me love. I mean, I done went back, y'all. Money can't buy you love. I'm telling you, money cannot buy you love. And you know what? People can't buy you love. Marriage can't buy you love. Don't you make the mistake of thinking because you're a good person that someone is going to be fair to you, woman or man. Don't you do it. I've sent somebody right here listening to this broadcast. You're ready to be married. But have you received the proper counseling? Life has a way of teaching us and causing us to become what God intended for us to become. The issue here is you are a giver. I'm talking to the givers. Then most likely you may have found yourself in many relationships with takers. Are you a person that's willing to do anything to keep someone that you love? You've got to ask yourself that. Some have decided I'll just sleep with people. What makes you willing to put everything on the line and to be the only one that believes in God's definition of love? I'm going to tell you something that I saw in the spirit. I could hear somebody say, what is going on with Roger? Woo, Jesus. Well, be careful. This is also the anointing of deliverance. There's coming to the body of Christ a pure definition of love. There's also coming to the body of Christ, you better hear me, a shaking in the area of relationships. That's why it's so easy to judge. We accept that people make mistakes, but God is redefining in many people a clear understanding of love. It's not so much that he's redefining. He's introducing what he has always tried to do in the body of Christ. Understand God's way of loving. And when each person, male or female, accept the responsibility of giving If two givers are together, glory to God, I just got excited about that. Somebody being delivered. If two people are givers, what's going to happen in that relationship is there's going to be a constant fellowship that is flowing between the two. The book of Amos talks about, I believe in the third chapter, two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. You know, we love talking about the day of Pentecost. Come on, church. Come on, church. Oh, Lord, help us. And they were with one accord, but refused to teach one accord in every function of the body of Christ. We have selfish leaders in the body of Christ. What are you doing for my church? What are you, takers? We have more leaders that are takers in ministry than givers. So you know the spirit of the house, just like the spirit of the home, if there's a taker, there's a thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you are a giver, don't you allow nobody to change your mind. I'm talking to some people that don't ordinary or don't get ministered to. If you are a giver, don't you give up giving? Don't you change your mind and say it's better that if I could be a taker? Don't do that. You continue to be a giver. Because takers are haters. God help me tonight. I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you lead me. This is the spirit of tonight on Prophecy Alive. If you are a taker, you are a hater. The Bible says about God, it talks about him being a God that gives. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of me. Give. For God so loved the world until he gave. I'm so in love with you. What man is saying I'm in love with someone and refuse to give love? A woman say, I'm so in love with him. Not if you are a taker. Being a taker and a lover don't mix, baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aretha Franklin wrote a song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. But it bent to the way of the woman and not the man. That is the problem in the body of Christ. Let me show you, for example. There are certain characteristics of a biblical relationship. Now, if you want any kind of relationship, then you can have it. But there's a difference between just a domestic relationship and a biblical relationship. Because a biblical relationship involves God's principles. It involves wisdom. I mean, look now. You can't put sugar in your car tank and expect your engine to run. Sugar is nice, but it don't belong in a car. There's a principle there. You cannot put anything in a relationship and expect that relationship to run. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the grace of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, let me show you how the enemy goes to that. And what he will do is he will magnify that word weak. Because if a taker reads this verse, glory to God, this is how they will read it. Husband, respect me. I don't care what I do. I don't care about my flaws. I don't care how many. Listen, treat me like I'm weak so your prayers will not be hindered. Because the enemy will magnify. And I'm telling you, if this is tonight, it's one of those things. It's just like getting a flu shot. Glory to God. It stings. Ooh, that just hurt. I already got the flu. Why I got to get a flu shot? That word weaker is the very thing in Genesis 3 that Satan used against. And I don't even say the woman. Adam was there too. He used it against their union. He says in verse 4, and the serpent said, did God really say you were going to die? Every scripture that you read, your interpretation of that will depend upon you being a giver or a taker. If you're a giver, you're going to give yourself to the Spirit of truth. You're not going to look at yourself as the truth person in the marriage or relationship. You're going to look at St. John. Now, I'm talking about a biblical relationship. Now, if you're just in a relationship and all y'all do is just have sex, then I'm not talking to you. But if you're in a biblical relationship, you're going to understand that the interpretation of your marriage, of your relationship, has to be the Holy Spirit. The only truth in a godly relationship is what the Holy Spirit reveals. Now, if I'm retarded, y'all pray for me. Let me say it again. St. John 16 says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and therefore the interpreter of Scripture. Because all Scripture were given by what? Inspiration of God. The Holy Spirit breathed on men. And so the Holy Spirit defined. As men were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they writ the word. They wrote it down, but there was a divine inspiration. Therefore, a divine interpretation of that word. Now, if you really going to help people, it's going to take the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to read this to you now. I'm going to read this to you now. Let me go to 2 Samuel. I read this today. I want to share this with you. 2 Samuel 23:2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. 2 Samuel 23:2. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord in the Old Testament spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. Words spoken by David. And you know the writings of David and in the Psalms. Included in the word of God. When David wrote the word of God, he didn't just write whatever he thought or felt. A relationship is not by what you think or feel, husbands and wives, and you that are going to be husband and wives. No one dictates the scriptures. No one can interpret the scriptures but the Holy Spirit. David, he wrote by inspiration. He didn't write what he thought. He didn't write what he felt. David clearly spoke, people, the word of God, the scriptures, by the power of the Holy Spirit, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus quoted David's words as scripture and added that he spoke by the Holy Spirit. Listen closely. St. Mark 12. Oh, God, I love this. St. Mark 12 and 36. For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now, is that crazy? Is that amazing? Jesus used the words of David prophetically to describe even his mission. The Apostle Peter said, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David. Here in Acts 1 and 5, 1 and 16 actually, Acts 1:16. Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. My God, that has to just really, and I'm talking about givers and takers. You cannot be a giver in your relationship if you're not receiving what the Holy Spirit is trying to give you, husbands, wives. The Holy Spirit speaks in marriages. The enemy wants people to think your prayer is going to be hindered. Your prayer is going to be hindered. Anyone that read that scripture and only see the function of the husband and never see the function of the wives, you're being deceived. And let me say something. The Bible didn't say that the woman was weak. This is the same excuse that the devil has given from the Garden of Eden. Women, you are not weak. You know, I watched the story of the penguins. It brought tears to my eyes. I just sat and I just looked at it. And it's so fascinating. It's called The March of the Penguins. If you haven't seen it, it is so astonishing and unbelievable. And the story was told by Morgan Freeman of the Penguins. All of these imperial penguins, they make a long journey. Listen to this. Just to breed their young. Birds that can't fly. I mean, this is amazing. And they make such a long journey in a single filed line, up to 70 miles into the darkest, driest, coldest continent on earth. Oh, my God. When I saw it, I was totally breathtaking and tears rolled out of my eyes. Oh, my God. If you could just watch that movie and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, it would change your life. And that male guardian will guard the egg. For sometimes months, up to 3 months. And that female will hunt. I mean, these are birds that can't fly. But they have more revelation of love than man. Every time I think about love, I think about giving. And the world began to interpret that as material. There's nothing material about love. Love involves giving of oneself. David was not the only one that spoke about the Holy Spirit. Zacharias said that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. This is in Luke 1 and 70. It says, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. obviously, the word prophet does not only refer to what we have termed the major or minor prophets in the Old Testament, since the prophets of God have been since the world began. This statement refers to a man of God who was moved by the Holy Spirit to speak and write inspired words of God's word, truth. There's no inspiration without truth. And I'm going to tell you something, man. It's so many people who claim to be prophets, but they have absolutely no inspiration. Love comes by, listen, inspiration. Inspiration, the love of God. So there is a interpreter of marriage. I'm trying to help somebody today, and I'll use my life. There's a liberty that comes when both partners have a revelation from the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can love out of reasoning, out of the flesh, and I promise you, you will come into a dead end. But if you love out of revelation and out of understanding, then you're going to have peace. God is prophesying and speaking concerning how the enemy is stealing and destroying generations. God has forgiven all of us. That's why we forgive. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died. But I'm going to say a trickery of the enemy. Don't abuse mercy. Don't abuse grace and selfishly feel that forgiveness is exclusively mine. When you deal with people like that, that's trouble. We cannot love out of legalism. Mm-mm. We can't love out of legalism. In order to be honest, there must be no deceit. There must be no lies. You know, when I was younger, I used to hear women say, in the church, and I would sit and listen, and the older women would laugh and they would talk about how they were deceiving their husbands. It used to trip me out. I'm sitting in church and it's just having a little laughter going on, and the women were saying how, yeah, I got a stash that he doesn't know about. I make him look good. I mean, you'd be surprised how much garbage is in the consciousness of God's people concerning marriage and relationship. How many old fables that the Word of God said to stay away from? You'd be surprised how many children have been hurt due to false revelations of love. And some people throw it out as, that's not important. Until they get hurt, then they want prayer. Lord, I want a husband. I want a wife. Be careful that God is first. Be careful. First of all, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm afraid. Then there's a problem with love. Fear, listen to this, fear involves punishment. You punish yourself, self-afflicted wounds through fear. You know, Job said, the thing that I fear the most has come upon me. And watch this. I mean, it sounds good to become a victim and say, I just fear. I'm afraid to open up. The one who fears is not perfect in love. We love, ladies and gentlemen, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, if someone says he loves God and hates his wife, the Bible says that's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen can in no way love God whom he has not seen. And the word of God says this is the commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother. Understand something now. Love is an action word. I mean, so he's, I love you, buy somebody a hamburger. I just love you. You know, that ghetto version of love. Philippians 4 and 2 and 3 is so interesting. It involves what I call negotiation versus the power. Philippians 4, 2 and 3. It says here, because you belong to the Lord, settle your agreement. And I ask you, the man of God says, my true teammates. That word team is so important in love. It says to help these women, for they work hard with me in telling others the good news. Paul said, treat them with special honor. Relationship is partnership. Not selfishness. Don't be selfish. Don't live, people, to make a good impression on others. This is a huge problem. As long as everybody else perceives that I'm this or that. You know, the first place to be real is behind closed doors. Is with yourself. We perfect that. That is like fertilizing your love. Don't live to be a person that impresses others. Humility. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs. Be interested in others too and what they are doing. We must always keep ourselves united by the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, love. Galatians 6, 4 and 5, you read that, we are all responsible for our own conduct. You can't blame. Listen, Adam blamed the wife in the Garden of Eden. The wife blamed the serpent. And when you run out of blaming folks, you'll find yourself standing alone. Hear me. Hear me. God wants us to learn how to love. I'll be right back after this.
My help.
thank you for being patient. There's a reason why Satan hates marriages. Listen closely. Marriage was designed by God to reflect the image of God. Man and woman was made in God's image. And you get a children in a good children that are in a good marriage, they experience firsthand the beauty and benefits of God and the impact on spiritual principles that will work for the children in their profession, in their jobs, and ultimately in their homes. Now listen to this. Children get an interpretation of God's love. When you have a good mother and a good father teaching, that are teaching their children the nature of God, how do you, you know what, I take my children to church. So what? Are in your home, do they see the nature of God? We go from expecting the schools to raise our children to expecting the church to raise our children. They need to see God when nobody's looking. What do you do when the music stops? When the organ quit playing? When the drums stop? Is your relationship with God based on a shout? Is your relationship with God based on a service? We're serving everything but God many times. There's a golden rule. It's called golden for one reason. Love others the way you expect to be loved. Marriage is the basic building block of society. Look what God did in Genesis chapter 1. God instructed Adam and Eve to fill the earth through having children and to rule over the earth. And God set up marriage and children from marriage as the means of a stable, godly rule on earth. Marriage is a basic, fundamental building block of a structured, peaceful society. When marriages break down, raising of children breaks down. Disobedience, disrespectful, disorder, destruction is on the increase. An anarchy. And God wants us to get it together and realize that His ways are the best ways. Hallelujah. Well, I pray that this broadcast has been a blessing to you. I pray that this has touched those that it was meant for. And I pray that if you need it, then God put it on my heart to give to you. Maybe you can't say you love the Lord and Satan is running your home. You know, I think about Satan as having a front row seat. And he's watching so much folly and foolishness in the body of Christ. It's nothing worse. Listen, when you say you love the Lord, husband and wives, you have to live. Think about it. Oh, we get anointed when we go to church. Oh, we get anointed when we got to preach. How come nobody wants to be anointed to love? That's why we have men consumed by pornography in their homes. People are burdened. Disobedience is ugly. It's an ugly thing. It's an ugly thing. You can have all the high expectations if you want to. You can be a perfectionist with perfect expectation. We got women and expect their husbands to be so holy. And then the man constantly feels like a failure. I watched growing up in the church. I thank God for my mother and dad who were married over 45 years. I've watched in the church women would get up and testify. Pray for me. Pray for my husband. Did he get saved? I got so sick of hearing that, I said, God, what is going on here? How come all these women are testifying in testimony service, which I don't have? Pray that my husband get saved. I counseled a bishop one time, him and his wife. When I got through talking to them, the wife said, I'm not changing. And then men are constantly feeling like failures. They have no incentive to actually even hope to change. Physical abuse is not of God. But let me tell you something, ladies. You can beat a man up verbally and not physically. Man, you can beat a woman up emotionally and not physically. Nuclear war in the homes. I mean, we got some. Listen, that's one thing I don't believe in. Screaming and so many homes, door slamming, fights. Wrestling matches, spiritual weariness, simply because many don't know how to stop the fights. Many of you are tired in your homes of dealing with nuclear war every night of your life. Father, I pray right now that you would touch your people, leaving no one out. I pray that the Holy Ghost would be exalted in relationships and that the Holy Spirit would be the reference guide, the interpreter of truth in every home. I decree that right now in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. I've had a great time in the Lord, and I know that God is pleased. I love y'all so much. This is Roderick Ormsby in Prophecy Alive. God bless you, and God keep you. And we love you, and we thank God for you. Now, Prophecy Alive will not be back on the air till Tuesday. Praise God. And we'll see you Tuesday, and continue to pray, and that will be the 22nd of July, Tuesday, we will be back on the air. Love you.
This is what every man wishes his wife knew. He yearns to tell you that what works for you has got to work for him too. Put your ear to his heart and let him talk to you.
If you wanna love, it may take some time for you to learn how to light my flame. You are my lover, my friend, my wife and helpmate too. I'll be your student of love, but you got to be mine too.
touch. But what I need to tell you right now, satin sheets don't do much. God said to us others, oh, what you have didn't do unto you. I'll be a student of love. What you got to be mine too. You see, you love me, and I love you, and everything I need is somewhere down deep, down way down inside of you.
You wanna love me?
You wanna love me?
The way I need to be loved. You need to learn to love me from my time.
Start talking before you start giving, so you can see how much better a marriage is meant to be.
Come on, come on, come on. That's what a man is supposed to do. And I'll be there for you all the time. Let your hair down. Let me get you in the mood. Take me with you.
God bless you so much. This is Roderick Owens be saying, if you're not loving, you're not living. I love you. God bless. Good night.